ignorance. If for instance, I want to drive, and then you tell me that, you see, this gear one is when you want to start a car, neutral is when you want the car to be stationary motion, and then when you reverse, you go back. That is not, it's not an automatic car. And then you tell me this, I have to check the engine. Now, you give me information, but you have not necessarily taught me. You understand? And when it comes to teaching, teaching is by precept and by example. So, in proper teaching, certain things are practical. Now, I've told you this before, that when it comes to the things of the Spirit, you have more to learn from experiences, of course, guided by the Word, than to sit down and theoretically summarize the things of God. You see that there are some folks like that, they know so much in that context about the gifts of the Spirit and all that, but you discover that in their lives do not see the function in any. It's because they've missed out in that fundamental truth, that the basic things about the things of the Spirit deal more in the practicalities. It's not in the... That's why you learn, you discover that you learn a lot about the things of the Spirit much more in Acts of the Apostles. You will actually see things in operation. So, teaching, what teaching does is what Paul did here in 1 Corinthians 14 verse 33. He says, God is not an author of confusion. Actually, the word author doesn't exist. The word God is not of confusion, but of peace as in all the churches of the saints. So he talks about God is not an author. So what does teaching do? Teaching clears doubts. It clears misconceptions and it overrides confusion. So one of the key words, you know, in teaching, one of the key focuses of teaching is to take away confusion. So you are not confused. You understand it. And I told you before, when someone teaches or is well taught, it becomes bold, and if it's not careful, it turns into arrogance because he is not confused. He knows exactly what happened. You know. So sometimes it turns to the fact that the guy is almost arrogant. Well, see, teaching takes away confusion. And secondly, verse 40, teaching brings order. 1 Corinthians 14, 33 and 40, decency and in order. Let all things be done. Now, when he said let all things, he was not just giving a mere commandment. He had taught how those things will be done. He had taught how tongues will be given in the congregation. He had taught how prayer is going to be made, worship and all that. So it was actually in teaching, we lay down order. We lay down in the emphasis of teaching brings order and decency. Actually, the word decency means properliness. Things are done in a proper fashion. Now look at verse 2. You know that you were Gentiles carried away unto these dumb idols, even as you were led. Wherefore I give you to understand, which is what teaching does. Teaching gives you to understand that no man by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Now verse 4. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, it is the same God which worketh all in all. Now the all in all refers to the gifts and the administration. So, he's saying to us that in the things of the Spirit, we should look out for gifts, we should look out for the operations of the gifts, and we should look out for the administration of the gifts and the operations. Now, if you observe, after he finished discussing this particular, when he was done in verse 6, from verse 8 down to verse 10, he discusses what we can readily call gifts. By the time we get to verse 28 and 29, 30 and 31, he discusses gifts because he's coveting earnestly the best gifts. So, readily you will see gifts being taught, but then he wants you to look out for the operations and the administrations, or the other way around, the administrations and the operations. What we have most times is that people know the gifts, but they have little understanding of the administration. That's the word ministry of the gift. The way the gifts are served. How are the gifts served? And it gives us three different classifications. Ministries, and then the operations. But that's not our subject today, because we have dealt extensively with that matter. Now in verse 7 it says, but the manifestation, now from verse 1, it says to us, concerning the things of the Spirit. Concerning the things of the Spirit. It says, you should not be ignorant. Concerning the things of the Spirit, you should not be ignorant. So, the beginning of the subject matter are the things of the Spirit. So, leave him. He's a child now. Abba. What would he do? He's just playing. Now, from verse 4, he now talks about the gifts. Now, that shows you that, really, he was talking about the gifts. You understand? But he wants our attention to be on the things of the Spirit, because the gifts of the Spirit will flow into the things of the Spirit. So it says the same Spirit. There are diverse operations. If you are not trying to make distinction or to make a separation and say, this is gifts, this is ministry, this is operations, he now says it is the same God that worketh all in all. So that means that these things are interwoven in the way they are. All in all. So in verse 7, it now says, the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. Now, please take note of that. The manifestation. Now, that's a bit strange, because from verse 4 to 6, it gives things in the plural. It gives gifts in the plural, ministries in the plural, operations in the plural, but it always gives the source in the singular. The same Spirit, the same Lord, the same God. Now, so in verse 7, it says the manifestation. I've seen people carelessly teach manifestation as gifts, but that is careless reading. Because if the gifts were the manifestation, it would have put manifestation in plural. It would have said the manifestations of the Spirit is given to every man. But it says the manifestation of the Spirit. And there's a reason why manifestation cannot be in the plural, because of the definition of that word. You cannot have manifestation in the plural. That is my approach to you. What I said to you is not in the enticing words of man's wisdom. Then it says, in the demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Now, you see the word demonstration of the Spirit and of power. My speech and my preaching readily is saying that my speech and my preaching, that is, my preaching, my delivering the preaching and teaching, what I was saying to you, my words. So, those words constitute demonstration of Spirit, this Spirit, pardon me, and of power. Now, there are two different words there. Interestingly, this particular verse the word used there is not repeated in any New Testament text. It uses the word apodexis here. Apodexis. Apodexis is to flash on a surface. Apodexis is when I flash something. It is like a display. So, in the case of apodexis, I flash on a surface where the surface receives light. It's a flashing forth. You can put it like this. The flashing forth of the spirit and of power. But manifestation is a different word. Manifestation is the Greek word phaneru or phanerousis. It means something else. It's not a display. It's not a display. Now, notice what I mean. Manifestation and demonstration. So go back to verse 7 of 1 Corinthians 12. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man. Now, when you hear the word given to every man, that cannot be any man. The every man will be defined in the context of his audience. That is, every man among you. That is those who have believed. 1 Corinthians 1, 2. Who call upon the name of Jesus Christ. In every place. So, he's talking to people who are born again. He says the manifestation of the Spirit is given to people who are born again. He says to profit without. What to profit without is to say for the common good. So, manifestation, listen carefully. Manifestation is given to every man, to individuals, for the common good. So the recipients of manifestation are the individuals. Individual. There's an individual manifestation. That's what he's saying here. It's given to individuals, but it is for the common good. Like to say, for the profit of all. So, the manifestation must have a clear definition. Because everywhere he uses the word the, in verse 4 to 6, it was referring to a person, a personality. But with the personality will now come diversities of activities. In verse 4, gifts. In verse 5, ministries. In verse 6, operations. Amen. Amen. Are we together here? So he says, the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man. Now, if you start from verse 8, it just says, for to one is given by the Spirit the word of not wisdom. Now, this is another very, very old rendering of the Bible. So you will think that what he's saying is this. Let me tell you how to read it with a mindset. The manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man the prophet without, for to one is given, to Ibuku is given the word of wisdom. To Kolade is given the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. That's how it sounds. By the time you read verse 9, so to another, that another will be another person apart from Kolani. Are you following my point here? Will be given faith to another apart from that person, that if the another in verse 9 was now from your devil. So the another will be, of the gifts of healings will be me. So from me now, it will now go to Scott. From Scott, you know, it goes like that. So that means each individual has a manifestation. Let me say that if I follow my point. That is a ready way of leading it when you are lazy. But you know why you will not think like that? Because in verse 11, it says, but all this work it. The one and the self same Spirit, So that shows you that from verse 8 to 10, he was not discussing individuals. Are you following me here? All this worketh the one and the self same spirit. Dividing to who? Huh? Now, the word dividing means distributing. It is a word you can pick easily from when Jesus asked the disciples. Listen carefully to what I'm going to say here now. In John 6, when he multiplied fish and bread, so he gave to them to distribute to the needs of people. So look at Peter or James. He carried the basket. That basket has what? Fish and bread in multiplicity. So that basket, he takes it to Jumoke, and then Peter distributes to individuals. If he says he gave to individuals, that would probably mean he gave one thing to each person. But distribute on its own shows plurality. He distributes to every man severally. That word severally is individually. It's an old English word. He gives to every man individually as he will. The word as he will there, again, is as he needs. You can capture that context both in John 6 and Acts 4. When the disciples, or the apostles, let me explain that context to you again. You know, in the Bible language, has synonyms. Where you can capture verse 11 is when, for instance, Barnabas will sell his land and bring the proceeds to the apostles' feet. Now, so everything is at the apostles' feet. People sold land, houses. The apostles now will distribute to individuals as each individual needs. It cannot be as the Spirit wants. That defeats the distribution. I hope you are following what I'm saying here. It's not as the Spirit wants, as He will. Because He is discussing individuals. So, the distributions are as individual needs. As people need. Now listen carefully, so that you won't lose that. Let the apostles' feet is the Barnabas sells his lands and houses, brings it to the apostles' feet. The reason why Barnabas sold his things is for the common good. Barnabas places at the apostles' feet, who now distributes as people have need. None of us needed the gifts of the Spirit. It's not a need. Are you getting what I'm saying? There is no need in the believer called gifts of the Spirit. It's not a need. Okay, let me go on. So that you understand. In looking at this verse of scripture, like I said, if we were to say, unto one is given, that means all of us have one gift. Do you get it? Are you following what I'm saying? Each person has one gift. But that cannot be true. Because in chapter 14, in verse 12, Paul says, excel in gifts. In chapter 14, verse 1, he says, excel, desire the things of the Spirit much more than you prophesy. In fact, in chapter 14, he lets believers know that they can even walk in three: prophecy, tongues, and interpretation. Are you following what I'm saying here? So that would defeat a thinking that verse 8 to verse 10 was discussing individuals. If you read in context, you will discover that verse 4 will explain it to you. The same Spirit, but what? Diversities of gifts. So what, when he was saying to one in verse 8, in the Greek, it is through one. The word two is not to an individual, but through, to something, but through it. So he's saying, through one is given. Through one word, through a gift is given. Is somebody following me here? So the two from verse 8 to 10 is referring to the gifts, not the recipients. What does that mean? The manifestation is given to individuals, but the gifts are given through the manifestation. There is one manifestation of the Spirit. It is given to believers. With that manifestation will come distributions. Because all the gifts, it is still one Spirit. Praise God. Are we together? All the gifts still speak about one Spirit. So obviously, in chapter 2 verse 4, Paul was discussing gifts of the Spirit. My speech and my preaching was in the flashing forth. The manifestation. When Barnabas sold the goods, he brought the proceeds, everything, to the apostles' feet. Manifestation. The apostles distributed demonstration. The manifestation is what we received from God. The demonstrations are what others received from us. Let me see and that's clear to you. So, manifestation cannot be twice. Because the word phaneroo, manifestation, means to unveil something. It is to fully disclose. Gifts, the gift of word of knowledge cannot be a full disclosure of the Spirit. Are we together? Are we together here? So the manifestation is fully disclosed. I'll give you what I mean. Let's go back to John 7. John 7. John chapter 7. Notice the word giving. John 7. Are you there? Verse 37. In the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believes on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him shall receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet. The word giving is not there, but that word readily explains what he was saying. Because Jesus was not yet glorified. Now, in Acts 2:33, he says, talking about Jesus, therefore being exalted, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he has shed forth this, which you now see and hear. Look at what he says. He says, he received the promise of the Holy Ghost, he has shed forth this. So Peter talks about the Holy Ghost in diversities. Things that you can see and you can hear. Now, who can see and can hear? Huh? Talk to me. The audience. Who received the promise of the Holy Ghost? Huh? The folks in Acts 2. So the things what we receive from Jesus is the Holy Ghost. What people receive from us are the things they can see and the things they can hear. That is the flashing forth of what we received from Jesus. So the manifestation of the Spirit is given in Christ or given by Jesus. In 1 Corinthians 2:12, it says, we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. So, when you hear given, it's referring to what the believer has. So, this manifestation of the Spirit is what the believer has. In Acts 2:17, I will pour out. The word pour in the Greek is I will empty. And that is close to the word manifestation. That means when there is a manifestation, there is nothing else left. So I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. That is the manifestation. Now, look at Romans 8:19. That's where you get the word manifestation. For the expectation of the creature awaits the manifestation of the sons of God. Of course, you know what that means. He's talking about the full disclosure of the sons of God, which, you know, I'll talk about later. John says, when he shall appear, we shall see him as he is, and we shall be like him. That is a full manifestation of the sons of God. That's what phanerosis is. That is, there is a disclosure. As we are seated here, there is no disclosure of the sons of God. Because we have bodies that are subject to death. Do you understand my point? But at the manifestation of the sons of God, the glorious liberty of the sons of God, there will be a full disclosure. Now, it's not as though there's something we are going, it's something you are going to earn. It is part of being saved. Only that salvation has timing. There's a timing to the earth space. This earth space was timed by Jehovah, and therefore, based on that timing, this body taken from the earth is subject to that timing. However, the man who is born again has a body. The Bible says, our house in the heavenlies. He has a body that is his own. In case you think that this one will go down, will come back. He said, this will be swallowed up of life. So that body is not in heaven, seated somewhere. It's just talking about when immortality, which today is resident in heaven, in location, will change places. And then the physical body says, the dead in Christ will rise first. And I told you that, I think I said it on Sunday, that matter is indestructible. What will happen to the earth? Unlike how some people think, I'm going to destroy the earth and create another one. That is not true. The earth will be altered. And that alteration will be called destruction. But it's not destruction. In redemptive language, when you hear destruction, it is actually replacement. So there will be an alteration in the earth. That is why it says the dead in Christ will rise first. And so those folks whose bodies are scattered in the earth, they've used some of them to wash clothes and all that. It's been all over the place. But to show the victory over death, that body will gather itself across the earth. It will not take, it's not that God will do it. Because the spirit of him that raised Christ from the dead is the spirit of Christ. Will raise that mortal body from wherever it exists in planet earth. So that is the manifestation of the sons of God. Amen. Okay, I think, let me just leave all that. Colossians 1. Colossians 1. So if you are confused about that, just don't forget it. Just strike it off. Just say, well, I think I heard something like that. Now, it says this, verse 25. Wherefore I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God. Even the mystery which had been hid from ages and from generations. The mystery that had been hid from ages
hid from ages, but now is made manifest. Look at the word. Now is made manifest. Manifest. To whom God will make known what the riches of the glory of his mystery among the Gentiles. Christ is the hope of glory. So is made manifest. That is, there will be no further disclosures than this. So manifestation only happens once. There cannot be two manifestations. The minute it will need another manifestation, it was not a manifestation. In a manifestation, everything is disclosed. There is an unveiling. We shall see in 1 John 3 as he is. So, listen carefully to this. The indwelling of the Spirit, or better still, the gift of the Holy Ghost is the manifestation of the Spirit. The gifts of the Spirit are the demonstrations of the Spirit manifested. There is a manifestation of the Spirit at salvation. And there is a there are demonstrations of the Spirit upon salvation. So, get that clear. Those things described from verse 8 to verse 10 are demonstrations. That is why they are in diversities. But the source of that diversity is not in plural. Are you getting what I'm saying? The source of the diversity is not in plural, but what comes out of that singular act or singular personality are plural things. So there is no individual possession of gifts of the Spirit, as it were. We only have individual demonstrations of the same manifestation. Amen. So technically, we should never use manifestation in plural. That is misleading. But like I said, language is dynamic. Praise God. It's a dynamic word. So we can use it. Oh, thank God for the manifestation of God's glory and grace in my life. That's language. But technically, in teaching Bible, the word manifestation is a singular act. It doesn't happen twice. It happens once. Amen. So, apodexis is the gifts of the Spirit that others see and hear. Manifestation is the gift of the Spirit which we have received in Christ. Okay? Should I say that again? Manifestation is a gift, singular gift of the Spirit that we received in Christ. However, demonstrations are the numerous gifts of the Spirit that come out of that gift of the Spirit. You will only understand what I'm going to say now if at least 50% of what I said about manifestation of the Spirit, you understood it. There cannot be two manifestations. So, in Revelation 1:10, John uses a term. Now, in verse 9, he said it was at the Isle of Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus. Verse 10, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet. Now, There are two I was there. So, if you are very, if you are into spookiness, you will like the verse 10, and you will not start with John, where he started to talk. He says, I, John, your brother and companion in tribulation, and in the kingdom of God, and in patience of Jesus Christ, was in the island that is called Patmos. Now, history has it that he was captured, and he was thrown into captivity on the island of Patmos. So he was somewhere. He was in a location. Now the next verse now says, for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus. That is because of the word of God that I preached and because of the testimony of Jesus that I bore, I was on the island of Patmos. So there is a reason to be there. You don't find yourself in the island of Patmos without having the testimony of Jesus and the word of God. There was a basis why I was put on the island of Patmos. Now, look at verse 10. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet. Now, when you hear, I was in the Spirit, readily on your mind, you take that path of an Old Testament fellow or an unborn again guy who, you think he said, I found myself in the Spirit. I found, the way we see it is, I found myself in the Spirit. I didn't know what I was doing, but I just found myself, oh, where am I? I'm in the Spirit. But the word used here is the Greek word ginomai. It's actually the word I became. It's something that has the responsibility is on me. In fact, let me tell you how it sounds in common day English. I went into the Spirit. That's the way it is. Ginomai. I became in the Spirit. I went into the Spirit on the Lord's day. That is, John took a step in the Spirit. It wasn't that the Spirit took a hold of John. Those of you who have been into white garments, you know what I mean by took a hold. An action on his part. If I were to write this, I mean, the coming days when I try and translate Bible, I would expand the meaning for people. Expound. And I would say, I located in the Spirit. It's like to relocate. I located in the Spirit. And I'll put, like, center reference, and I'll put it down and I'll explain the word to you there. Because sometimes we miss out the meaning. Almost like it was going on and the Spirit got a hold of him. No. It was John that went in there. Why was it possible? Because categorically, the manifestation of the Spirit has been given. In Luke 10:21, we read a case where Jesus, having received a report from the disciples, from the apostles, you know, how they said, well, Master, we discovered that, you know, the demons are subject to us through your name in verse 17. It says, I saw Abel, Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Then in verse 19, it says, behold, I give unto you power to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all power of your enemies, and also your enemies also. So in verse 21, it says, 20 says, not to stand, rejoice not in this, demons are subject to you, but rejoice because your names are written in heaven. The Bible says in verse 21, in that hour, Jesus rejoiced in the Spirit. Please take note of that. It says, Jesus rejoiced in the Spirit. Actually, the King James says in Spirit. How do we have in Spirit? You didn't even open it. In Spirit, what is it? Because it's bad language. It's supposed to, in Spirit will mean any spirit. Because there are demon spirits, okay? Demons are spirits, angels are spirits. So you can't say in Spirit. What it says, in this Spirit, that relates readily with us. Hallelujah. He rejoiced in the Spirit. Now, do you know that what Jesus did, everybody saw him. But what he did was in the Spirit. I thought what would happen is that for me to see Jesus rejoice in the Spirit, I have to see a vision. Somebody follow what I'm saying here? I mean, if for instance, Pastor Ayo, she says something, Pastor, I say, well, I just, if Pastor, I say, well, I rejoiced. It's okay. Or say, I rejoice in the Lord. I rejoice for my salvation. I rejoice in the Spirit. Ah. Yeah. You think that well? Ah. It will take a prophet to see what he had done. Therefore, you have to see him in the Spirit. So, in the Spirit will mean he left his body, right? Then got to the Spirit. So, he rejoiced. So, naturally, when we say in the Spirit, it's not likely that we partake of such actions. But Jesus rejoiced in the Spirit and said, the word rejoice in Agalio, people actually saw what he did. And it was in the Spirit. So I would have thought that in the Spirit will mean in trance. I mean, if someone is in a trance, obviously, you won't see what he's doing. Right? So, the word in the Spirit is not in a trance. You are not likely to see John lying down and was just rolling on the floor and rolling on the floor. No. That would have been in Spirit. In the Spirit. Amen. Jesus rejoiced in the Spirit. The Spirit. What is the Spirit? Should be our question. Or, where is the Spirit? Hallelujah. Don't forget, the manifestation of the Spirit is given. So, in 1 Corinthians 14, amen, verse 2, the Bible says that he that speaks in tongues speaks not unto men, but unto God. No man understands him. How be it? Where? In the Spirit. Hallelujah. Now, is that trance? Does somebody speak in tongues in a trance? In the Spirit. So if John says, I was in the Spirit, Jesus rejoiced in the Spirit. They are all referring to the same location. In the Spirit He speaks. Romans 8:9 says, you are not in the flesh, but you are where? You are in the spirit. If so be that you found yourself in a trance. No. If so be that you saw a vision. No. If so be that you have received the manifestation of the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwells in you. If any has not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of it. So the word the Spirit refers to the indwelling of the Holy Ghost. That gift of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Hallelujah. Good. So, in the Spirit is not a trance, an out of body experience. Why? Because the Spirit is a location within. Your body is the temple of the Spirit. Is somebody following what I'm saying here? Is that clear? Your body is the temple of the Spirit. Every vision John had was located in his physical body. John did not have to leave the earth to see heaven. He didn't have to get out of his body to go somewhere. He's born again now. Everything, if you were to say, where did all these visions happen? They happened in John. The Spirit. Let me say, I'm following what I'm saying here. So when you say, in the Spirit, don't look up. I know a fellow like that. Every time he wants to prophesy, he's always looking up. Ha! For what? You know, it's alright. At least he knows it is up. Amen. But what was up has come down. Hallelujah. So when you say in the Spirit, it is the same Spirit. He says, there are diversities of gifts, but what? The same Spirit. Hallelujah. Amen. Good. So he says, he that speaks in tongues is speaking where? In the Spirit. Now, in verse 14, 1 Corinthians 14, if I pray in tongues, my spirit prays. Now, that already throws your balance. My understanding is unfruitful. How is it then? I will pray with what? The Spirit. Now, the Luke 10:21 Spirit, the 1 Corinthians 14:2 Spirit, 1 Corinthians 14:14-15 Spirit, Revelation 1:10 Spirit, are they one and the same? Romans 8:9, is it the same? The Spirit. My Spirit prays. Hallelujah. So, in other words, the reason why we can function like this is because of the manifestation of the Spirit. There is nowhere. The Spirit is not elsewhere. The manifestation has been given. If I have to leave this physical body to go out. You see, that was where Paul said something. I think I answered that question here. When he says that, well, I saw a man in Christ. I'm going to talk about that next week very, very well. Can a Christian have an out-of-body experience? You understand? I will let you know. I think I've answered it before. Alright? Right? Concerning gifts of God, I went in that dimension. Did I?
You have forgotten? Okay.
He says, man, 14 years ago,
you know, some people say, well, he was referring to the way to Damascus. He said, in Christ. So forget Damascus. So people have argued, what was he talking about? He said, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. Initially, I had a problem with that scripture because I thought, should I now tell? If the owner of the body and out of body cannot tell, how can I tell? So, you know, I'm very, very, very adamant. So, I decided to find out. So, I tried my best. So, I discovered that what he said was in the past. I could not tell. Amen. I could not tell. Now, he can tell. Amen. He cannot be out of the body. Praise God. It's in the body. Amen. It's in the body. When your spirit leaves your body, it only goes somewhere. It goes to heaven. Hallelujah. It's gone to heaven. So when he spoke about, I caught up in the third heaven, I see people say, well, that means he left his body and he was in the third heaven. We'll see all that. You just relax. We'll see all that. You know, there was a brother like that by the name of Stephen who saw Jesus at the right hand of the Father. You know, you think that, well, how did he see Jesus in heaven? Is it that, you know, he was right there talking to them. They were hearing him and he was seeing Jesus. Does it mean that Jesus moved closer, like 20 meters? You know, you can't see a plane in the sky. Can you see a plane? Say, I can see the pilot. We'll just take you to our room because you are going mad. You can't see the pilot of a plane in the sky. For you to see Jesus, you have to have been there. Amen. Alright, so we'll see what that means later. But you see, when you hear in the spirit, he says, my spirit prays. He's not talking outside. The spirit is here. Hallelujah. Amen. The spirit is here. The spirit. Glory to God. So he says, but you see there's something. There's something that Romans 8:9 would upset us a bit about. It says, you are not in the flesh, but in the spirit. If so be that the spirit of God dwells in you. So you begin to have a problem. So we are all in the spirit. By the virtue of being born again, we are all in the spirit. We are all in the spirit. If we are all in the spirit, why don't we then see those demonstrations every time? I said, if you observe, every time the word in the spirit is mentioned, and it appears like it's an experience, you will discover that there was an action taken by the person in question that demonstrated that location. What we read is the demonstration of the location, not the location. He that speaks in tongues, in the spirit he speaks. I was in the spirit and I heard. Amen? Jesus rejoiced where? In the spirit. It's just like saying, I have the Holy Ghost. And Paul teaching, be full of the spirit. You are not going to increase the Holy Ghost within. But what is happening is this. You are being inspired by the Holy Ghost. You are taking steps as a believer that demonstrate the indwelling presence of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Are you following this? So, when we say in the Spirit, know carefully that the manifestation of the Spirit has been given. So, it has been given in Christ. Now the question is, to what degree can a believer function in that manifestation? Is to the degree of what he knows about it.
Hallelujah. It's to the degree of what he knows about it. As we are all here, if somebody is here, is not born again, he is in the flesh. If somebody is born again, he is in the Spirit of God. However, it doesn't mean that everybody is functioning from there. It is the functioning from there that Paul had revelations, that we speak in tongues. But you know something, I'll close here now. In studying the things of the Spirit, I had a tongues rule in my study. I'll give you next week my tongues rule. Paul opened our eyes massively in 1 Corinthians 14. The way he did it, that guy, Paul, that apostle Paul, was a genius. Do you know what he told the prophets? He said to them, he said, look, let the prophet speak two at most by three. Let the other judge. He said, for the spirit of the prophet. Now, the word spirit there was in italics. I mean, was in plural. The spirits of the prophet is subject. The word spirit there are the things of the spirit of the prophet. He says he's subject to the prophet. That's intriguing. I call it my tongue's rule. If by speaking, I'm in the spirit. By speaking, I'm in the spirit. How much more? Hallelujah. Believer is in the spirit all the time. All the time. Because the manifestation of the Spirit has been given to him. Hallelujah. One day God will help to help us understand what we mean by the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. What do we mean by the Holy Ghost? The Holy Spirit. Amen. Lord will help us have an understanding of what it means. That understanding is very critical to how much the believer, we've seen a lot, you know, in the last few centuries of how individuals came in the horizon and did so much. But I believe in the last days we'll see, you know, the unveiling to the world of the Spirit of Christ. And that's key. Hallelujah. Let's bow our heads. Thank God. Bless God. God is faithful. Bless the Lord.